Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with wonderful guests who are experts on today's topic. You're in the multifamily industry working in the area of operations and management. You have to balance a lot of different things, including communicating and working with your clients and asset managers. Today, we will take a deep dive into different ways and ideas on the best way to do that. So today, our topic is how operations and management can relate to clients and asset managers. Joining me in the studio is Shelley Johnson, Senior Vice President in Houston for Roscoe Properties. Also, Lisa Moore, Regional Vice President with Roscoe Properties, and Danielle Mitchell, Regional Manager with Roscoe Properties. Welcome, ladies. Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
So, the topic, why don't we kind of break it down as simple as we possibly can for someone who might be new in the industry. When you are in the business and multifamily business and you have either owned assets or you have fee-managed properties that you're taking care of, you always have a client or an asset manager that you have to deal with. So take us through a little bit about how that's generally structured, at least in your experience, Shelley.
Well, in our experience at Roscoe, we have some communities that are owned internally through F&B Capital, which is one leg of our company. We have asset managers on those deals, and we also deal directly with ownership as well. And then we also have fee clients. And so we have a lot of different types of structures, but we usually always have an asset manager or an owner that is the point of contact for property ownership.
Right. And I guess in today's time, most of you are young, too young to remember the way it was in the old days before we had things like email and so forth. But I guess with with social media and email and when reviews are posted and things like that, generally your clients, owners, asset managers are in the loop on that.
They're tuned in, absolutely.
Yeah, they may see it before you do it in some cases, I would imagine. So you've got to deal with that. Is that right, Danielle, you were going to say
yes, something? Absolutely. I mean, they're very in tune to that, and they even, you know, bring that up on our weekly or, you know, monthly operational calls, just wanting us, how can we improve our online reputation? What can we do to get some positive reviews? So they're definitely in the loop on that.
So when you have properties that are that you're working on that are in one market and your ownership is in a different market or your asset manager is in a different market, what challenges does that bring up, or is it with the ability to be able to videotape things and show it today, it's not as much of a challenge as it could be?
So educating your asset manager or your ownership on your market and submarket specifically is very important. They are, most of the time, our partners are not based in Houston. And so what they're seeing in the press or what they're hearing from brokers can be one thing, and then what you know is going on in your specific submarket with the specific competitors you have and the lease-ups and be another story entirely. And so it's really important to have an open dialogue with those folks and keep them up to date on the kind of micro trends that you are seeing that impact your property performance on a day-to-day.
So what would you say is the number one challenge, which would then translate into the number one tip we could give to our listeners of dealing with, from an operations management side, dealing with someone who has a different job, but you're working for common goals? What would that be?
Communication is often a challenge, but can be overcome easily. A lot of times they may have a specific, you know, business plan for the asset, and maybe they have not communicated that to you. So you have to be proactive in that, you know, perspective and reach out to them, have a conversation, especially if you're taking over something new or if you have a change in, you know, regime on the asset management side, to just really have a download with them and determine, you know, is this a value add situation? You know, are we just trying to improve cash flow through routine operations? You know, what is the plan?
Right.
And really communicating about that is, you know, it can be a challenge because sometimes they may not even really have a clear perspective. And in those instances, you kind of have to advise them and tell them what you think is possible and what should be done. So a lot of times we're talking about what we need to recommend behind the scenes when we're dealing with them.
Okay.
Did you want to add something?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to add that, you know, doing all that you can to stay ahead of them and, you know, being proactive and understand, you know, going along with that, you have to understand their vision and try to align with it and do all you can to manage the property to their expectations. So communication is for sure the key.
I think, were you going to say something, Lisa?
I was just going to add that in order to establish good communication, we really focus on context. Understanding, like Shelley said, the context of the asset, and then also understanding where your asset manager came from. I have asset managers who are former accountants, and they look at certain things in one way, and I have asset managers who came up through operations, and they can have a totally different perspective on the same issue. And so when you actually spend the time and aren't afraid to ask the questions and understand the background of the person that you're dealing with, you can help tailor your communication and recommendations about the asset to them in a way that they'll understand and respond to best.
You know, and we use the word, we were just going through that discussion, the vision for the property. So let's say you take over a new property. It's either purchased or you take over management for it. How do you establish that vision? And then how do you communicate that to everybody involved that you have to deal with? What's the process that you go through on that?
I think that it would start out, of course, with the regional manager, the VP that's relevant, communicating with the point of contact given from the ownership side, just scheduling a call or even a visit, you know, to walk through the property, just get oriented with what's really going on and what needs to be done. It may even be a series of calls or visits, but just having that open communication so you can create a shared vision. And then from there, it's very important for you for us as operations to communicate that downward. So the VP might have to help kind of zip it up and determine what our rent growth needs to be, what our plan is going to be for capital add, that sort of thing. And then you have to communicate that to the manager and to the on-site team. You know, really everyone on the property should understand what the goals are.
Right. And I guess or when an owner is purchasing a new property, and you go through a due diligence process, you have certain goals that you want to try and accomplish. Obviously, you want to increase the NOI. What are the value-add things that you're going to do to the property as far as capital expenditures to
correct
be able to drive the rent and so forth? How long of a process is that normally to get to the point where you say, okay, here's the plan, now let's go work the plan?
I mean, that can really vary. Mm-hmm. I mean, we work with a lot of existing clients, and so with those, a lot of times they'll reach out to us when they're looking at a property, and we prefer that. It's great because we can go kind of spec it out. They tell us, you know, we're going to invest $6,000 on interior renovations. Do you think we can get $150 premium? And that gives us an opportunity to look at the market, look at the comps, and really make a recommendation to them. And sometimes we say, yes, we think we can get 150 and maybe even more. And sometimes we say, you know, for that investment, maybe we're only going to get 75.
Right.
So sometimes they'll pass on the asset. Sometimes they'll take it. You know, usually the due diligence process and, you know, closing on a deal is going to take 120 days. Sometimes it's more. Sometimes it could be a little bit less.
Right. And I guess at that point, when the property closes and you go in and take over, then you already know, you've got your punch list and checklist of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, and you have personnel needs, I imagine, that you've discussed and so forth. And that can be a challenge, I would imagine, bringing in a new culture of business to existing employees, that you have to, I guess, make those types of decisions on what you're going to do, who's going to stay and who's not going to stay.
Usually we will, you know, visit the property ahead of time. Obviously, we've been there during due diligence. So we generally target people that we want to keep, you know, and retain with, mm-hmm. with our company. And then it really works best when we have a blend of current Roscoe, you know, employees and then some that are there already. We find we're often well received. We have a pretty robust training program and support. People like that. So we've had a lot of success bringing people on board. When we know ahead of time, we can kind of get the team lined up. We often have people internal that are ready to promote and that sort of thing. So these ladies are experts too at putting a team together kind of ahead of time so we can hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Did y'all have anything to add?
That's just the biggest challenge in any takeover is getting the people right.
Yeah.
And then planning too to market your team to the residents. You know, they've experienced a change. They get these legal notices on their doors one day and suddenly it's not, you know, the former management company that they were used to, but it's Roscoe. And so we have to take the time to educate them on who we are, what we're about, and how we're going to improve things for them. So that is always our intent.
Yeah.
Okay. We generally bring in some extra folks during the takeover too, because residents, the minute they hear under new management, they're down there with their list. So thanks, we're ready for that, you know.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic, how operations and management can relate to clients and asset managers. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is Shelley Johnson, Senior Vice President with Roscoe Management. Lisa Moore, who is the Regional Vice President with Roscoe Management, and Danielle Mitchell, a Regional Manager with Roscoe Properties. I do want to take a quick moment and remind our audience that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, or suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So when you have an asset manager who underwrites a property, specifically I'm asking about when you take over a property, and you find out that what he had underwritten is out of alignment with what is realistic.
That never happens.
How do you handle that, and how common is it?
That is very common in today's market. Writing deals, you know, takes aggressive underwriting, and sometimes it is out of alignment with reality a bit. So we have to have conversations. The first step is really just talking to the client and asking them if you can see the underwriting. Sometimes right. They don't want to share that. We generally will get that and add it into even our budget model for comparison, just so we can see if realistically we can get close to it or not.
Right.
If we can't and we see that we can't or there are big challenges, then there's the ongoing conversation. This is where you were. This is reality. We might be able to get there if we do this, and we will make suggestions and recommendations. But if you're not talking about it, then it's just a miss, and mm-hmm. you probably, you know, won't have the opportunity to even really reach the goals that they had set out initially, which is important for their loan and financing, et cetera.
And go ahead.
It's important to, you know, keep communicating with them about you know, realistically where we are so that they know. I mean, otherwise they just expect so much, you know, for us to follow that underwriting, and it's hard. So as long as they know exactly what's going on with the property and they know and we set those expectations, it normally can be a good conversation with them.
Yeah, anybody who's in Houston today knows that that's a different story in our markets than 2015 or even 2016. And so properties that were underwritten a few years ago, you know, maybe they're going through a management change at this point and we're coming in to take over. And yes, everybody would love to get back to pro forma. Mm-hmm. But the question is whether that's realistic with the, you know, ongoing construction in the market and all of the other factors that are at play in the Houston economy.
How does that vary from submarket to submarket? Is it something that affects a specific submarket that then affects your ability to reach those goals? Comps or anything that would be?
Well, your closest comps are always going to have the biggest influence on your ability to raise rents. You know, if mm-hmm. you have a lease up that's across the street that's offering 2 to 3 months free, that's definitely going to put a cap on what you can do with your own, you know, rent increases and renewal increases. You know, throughout Houston, we've seen construction and new product in pretty much every single submarket. So it's a market-wide issue that everyone is dealing with and will continue to deal with. But there are certainly certain pockets of the city where it's exacerbated.
I was speaking with someone who was having problems dealing with an asset manager. They just did not want to come off of that pro forma. And I don't know what they finally did, but they were perplexed on how to handle it because the asset manager was, I think, on the West Coast. And, you know, they had a property here in Texas and he rarely visited and kind of, I think he came from what you had mentioned before, came from the financial world and looked at numbers and couldn't understand what they were telling them. Is that something that you run into from time to time?
That's very common.
We definitely run into that all the time. And in those instances, it's very important to manage upward and to educate them as much as possible. We subscribe to, you know, ADS, CoStar, et cetera. There's good data out there. A lot mm-hmm. of times we use a submarket report, which really shows by property class, trends in occupancy, absorption, et cetera. So I'll often run that, especially after you've just had a discussion with a client and they're really just not understanding what's going on in the market. Data is something that they understand.
Right.
So we will send that over. We also subscribe to many different publications and articles and really sharing anything that helps show the story, you know, with your asset manager, especially if they're not from here. They did, you know, and then the other thing with underwriting is, you know, at the time that it's done, they may not know what the proposed construction is. So they're not really looking forward thinking about the lease ups that are coming in. And so we have to educate them on that too. So keeping your finger on the pulse of new construction that's coming in, sharing that with them, keeping them updated with market surveys, even weekly, is really critical, especially if they're remote and they don't understand the market.
I wonder, I was thinking about a client in particular that was having an issue, a different one than I'd mentioned before, with an asset manager. And they were telling me that they have some asset managers and some clients, owners, that are completely hands off, and you know, they just basically, you know, want to get up an update every now and then, and then others who are just very difficult to please. How common is it to have one of the hands off ones?
Not common enough.
I would imagine that.
We of course like those, but I think it's important to know even if they're hands off, you still need to give them information. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think is a disconnect between asset managers and operations is typically, you know, asset managers are looking at things more as an investment. They're not really looking at the human touch that much. And in operations, we're worried about our staff and our residents, and we're trying to build community. So whether they're hands-on or hands-off, I think sending them pictures or videos of resident events or outreach marketing that you're doing, things that show happy people and things that are really going on your property, gives them confidence.
Sure.
It probably is more important with the ones that are a little more hands-on, because they need, you know, there's a trust factor that has to be established, and automatically they're kind of looking at you, you know, they come in, their job is to find out what we're not doing right or optimally. And so we want to constantly show them that we are working to do everything optimally. And you do that with pictures, articles, conversation, calls, et cetera.
Shelley's absolutely right there. You know, multifamily has become such an institutional investment class over the last 10 years that we're really seeing movement toward, you know, your asset managers being these fresh out of MBA school graduates who can run all sorts of analytics mm-hmm. and data and things like that. And you do have to work to humanize it for them. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, typically your asset manager today is somebody who's come up through some kind of financial or accounting track rather than an operations track. And so it is important to remind them that it's not just A plus B equals C in this business, but there's a whole different people factor with your residents, with your employees, that really influences property performance. And you have to show them you're on top of that.
Well, and I think you mentioned, Shelley, you said the word confidence, and I think that probably plays a major role, especially when you take over something for someone you've never worked with before. You do have to build that trust factor.
That's right.
For them to be able to do that. And then hopefully once you gain that confidence, then it's a little bit different relationship.
It's definitely different and better once you have that confidence. And a lot of times in just kind of working with and coaching regional managers, I have to remind them, you know, don't let them throw you off your game. You know what you're doing and you're the expert here. Mm-hmm. You have to convey that to them. And if you speak confidently about what you already know that you're doing right, they're going to buy it, you know. So they're a customer just like anyone else, and we are trying to build that confidence and trust factor with them daily.
Lisa, how many properties are under your umbrella that you take care of?
So I manage the owned side of our portfolio here in Houston, and mm-hmm. we currently have 9 owned assets.
Okay, so that's a lot of territory and a lot of different. Well, if it's owned, I guess I'm assuming you're dealing with a lot of the same people that as far as
we
asset
do
management.
Now. Our ownership structure is such that we typically our company takes a stake in the asset, and then we also have an external investor, and so we get a little bit of both.
Right, right. And then how many properties do you manage as a regional?
I'm kind of in a transitional phase right now. We just had a disposition of one of my assets yesterday, and so right now I do have one under me, but more is on the horizon.
Yeah, well, it's,
and
it's,
and your one is a lease up too, and
that's
a
different
story.
Yeah, which is that's a completely different animal.
Yes,
it is. And Danielle typically assists with all of our budgeting. I mean, mm-hmm. she's a kind of a budget expert, so she helps the whole portfolio with that piece.
Yeah. And I guess the when you have a diverse portfolio in different submarkets, a lot of people think that, well, it's Houston, you know, Houston's Houston, but it's not. And
no.
And hopefully that's something that your ownership group, the of the specific asset, as well as the asset manager, understands that there are little differences in those submarkets and. If they're out of state or they're not anywhere close by, how hard is that to communicate?
We work to communicate that. I mean, a lot of times I like to, you know, tell them how many miles apart, you know, their two deals are. I mean, we have properties that are probably close to 80 miles apart in Houston. So we're all over the city. Mm-hmm. Again, we use a lot of data and analytics so that we can stay in tune with submarkets. I mean, if you just look inside the loop of Houston, you have multiple submarkets. Someone that's not from Houston might not understand that.
Right.
You know, that the medical center and Midtown are two different things.
Right.
The energy corridor, or, I mean, that's a little bit outside the loop, but the Galleria and the River Oaks market are a little different. So, and then also that anything inside the loop can really share traffic with any of those little submarkets.
Right.
So it's a complex, you know, the city is complex, it's large, it's spread out, and that is something that even people from Austin
don't
totally understand if they're not here.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with some more of this topic right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. We're discussing the topic, how operations and management can relate to clients and asset managers. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is Shelley Johnson, Senior Vice President with Roscoe Properties, Lisa Moore, Regional Vice President with Roscoe Properties, and Danielle Mitchell, Regional Manager with Roscoe Properties. I do want to take a moment, thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor, specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen & Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. You know, one of the things we just touched on briefly in the first segment was personnel and, you know, keeping some of the existing personnel, bringing in some of your team and trying to figure out what that right combination is when you take over a property. And in dealing with asset managers and owners who are actively involved in the property, that's a challenge. So what is it that that's the secret sauce that you guys use to be able to get that perfect team assembled? How do you do that?
I think that takes a lot of collaboration. I mean, we have a large corporate team here, and we sit down at a round table every week and talk about staffing. Each of us has been in the industry a while, and we've all brought people over that we know. We work closely together, and we discuss staffing all the time. So just having a good awareness of who's already on your team is very important, and knowing what their skill set is and communicating about that openly. I mean, one thing that I'm proud of our team for is the way our regional managers work together. It's not, these are my people. They're Roscoe people, and we always know what's coming into the portfolio. So if Danielle has a manager that might be great for one of her sister regional managers, you know, properties, and that's a growth step, you know, we work that way and cross portfolios to build the right team for our clients.
Sure. And I guess matching up the right manager with an asset manager who may be a little bit more financially oriented or analytical is important. What have you found with that, Lisa?
That's very important. You know, you really want to try and align the skill set of your folks on site with the questions that your asset manager is going to ask so that everybody just feels more comfortable in the room. We have a number of asset managers who do request that our site managers join our weekly or monthly phone calls, and it's just because they want to hear what's going on site. They want to know that the team on site is as engaged as possible. And we really try to match those personalities up. You know, if somebody's a tough asset manager, we want a property manager with a thicker skin who can, you know, not get ruffled when the questions start coming rapid fire. Mm-hmm. And we coach and we work with our managers and our regionals to, you know, always project with confidence. They are the experts. They know what's going on the site, and they have, you know, great recommendations to share.
Is it always, something that you can predict as far as the personalities involved, or is it sometimes trial and error? And you say, well, we tried this way, now let's move someone else in.
There's always some trial and error involved. I mean, we do try to make educated decisions about mm-hmm. staffing, but sometimes it's just not a match. And when that happens, you know, we can move people around. And we've had to do that, you know, in different, you know, in different scenarios. Maybe the manager is just getting thrown off her game because of the questions. You can right. have someone that's very, very good, but they just lose their confidence when their decisions are being questioned all the time. Of course, our regional managers, you know, step in and try to kind of manage those relationships. But there are times when you do have to make a change.
Yeah.
And we do our best to direct the conversation.
Sure.
That's correct.
So we'll meet before our client calls and we'll say, okay, here's where we're sitting. What are our recommendations? What I really don't want is for my asset manager to come in and make their own recommendations. Because I'm here, I'm local, I know what's going on with the team, and I want to be in front of that and sharing that before, you know, and allowing them to respond to that, not having our external partners feel like they need to be the ones bringing recommendations to the table.
Sure.
You know, that's our role.
Yeah, right. Well, you want to push the client along instead of having them pull you along, I would imagine, as
well. Well, honestly, that's when you might have a concern, too, mm-hmm. because they want proactivity. They want us to, they've hired us to do the job. And that's where you have to have, especially with asset managers that are very hands-on, you have to have a very assertive manager, regional manager that's going to bring energy to the call and say, these are the amazing things that we're doing at your asset this week. Again, I think it's important, even if you have bad news to report, you need to report the solution, you need to be proactive. I call it finding the silver lining. There's always a silver lining. And so we talk about that a lot. If you have some bad news, you need to come up with some great news to follow it or how you're going to fix it.
Yeah, I would imagine that that's a great way of stating it, finding the silver lining. I think a lot of people try and do that, but they don't know that's what they're doing. I mean, they're always looking for a way to get a good outcome out of something that maybe didn't start out so good. What surprises have you had that you can share with our listeners regarding, you know, when something's not going the way it should have, based on the performa, something that you possibly didn't expect? I know I mentioned to you that we had somebody on the show who did due diligence, but they found out after they took the property over they had a bat infestation that they had to deal with. It cost about $15,000 to $20,000. I mean, those are things that are potentially out of someone's control. I guess maybe they could have gone up in the attics and with that in mind. But they'll never do that again. They'll never go through a due diligence and not do that again. Are there some things you've had in the past that have kind of surprised you?
Well, Danielle, didn't you have a squatter in one of your properties?
Yes. I mean, there's so much, but yeah, it can be strange when you walk into a unit that's supposed to be vacant and there's someone in there. You're
yeah.
like, oh. And then, you know, another thing that we see kind of commonly is if we take over a property and there's this backlog of invoices that we did not see coming, and, you know, we've prepared a budget, we've prepared the client on how we're going to go in there and be amazing, and then we're hit with this, you know, huge expense. And so just we have a PO system and we work to be very diligent with our invoicing and payments, but sometimes you just don't see those things coming and they can be difficult to communicate to the client and whatnot, so...
So how does something like that, what advice could you give our listeners how to avoid something like that, like when you're in the due diligence phase? Or is it just the previous management company just didn't have their act together and there's nothing you can do about it?
There are various scenarios that happen there. I mean, sometimes the previous management company just didn't have it together. Sometimes, you know, bills just were being kind of put in a drawer. I mean, we hear that all the time. It's kind of one of those old adages, the bills from the drawer. Again, it's communication. The minute we, you know, even if you're in the due diligence, you may not know about that. I mean, mm-hmm. you can call out, you know, some of the vendors, and we've done that, especially once we get in there and we're seeing a trend. We may call all of the vendors that we know are common to the property and just say, hey, anything past due, we need it.
Mm-hmm.
Just proactivity and communication. That's when you have to immediately go back to the client and say, we just need to let you know that we have found, you know, a backlog of invoices. We're, you know, scouring the prior GL to see if they were paid. And then it's important to communicate that in writing to your clients also, mm-hmm. because you have a responsibility to report the financial state of
sure.
the asset. And then you have to make a plan on how you're going to get those invoices paid and still, you know, not blow your budget. You have to discuss how they want it booked and how you're going to handle it. So,
and, you know, every time you take over a new asset, that's like learning a whole other animal as well. You don't know what skeletons are hidden in the closets or walls or ceiling. And even some of the newer product that we've taken over, you know, we've dealt a lot with construction defects and things like that, that pop up in year 3, 4, 5 of an asset's life. And you may have a capital plan that points you in one direction. And then you've just got to figure out what you really truly need to do and where you can save a few dollars here and there. You know, maybe this is not the year for, you know, new pool cushions or something like that, because we have to address an HVAC issue. And, but you have to be in front of that and making those recommendations in order to stay in the driver's seat in these relationships.
You know, you mentioned construction defects, and I'm assuming that that means actual defects in construction as opposed to deferred maintenance or something like this. Is something that you're seeing, I guess, now in relatively new properties, but, you know, from time to time, that something that's happened during construction that is causing issues 3, 4, 5 years down the road. And that's tough to find, I think. I mean, obviously, if it should have been found when the property was built.
You know, sometimes you don't know what windows leak until you get a heavy rainstorm like we had this morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see in Houston, we always have settlement issues and things like that. So, you know, we'll find a pipe that cracks one day in a hallway because the building is settling in a certain way and certain things. And, you know, it's not to, like you said, you can't always predict it. You just have to be prepared to respond appropriately. And, you know, we have both sides of the coin in the portfolio, certainly. You know, newer properties and then those with deferred maintenance that we come in and have to make a plan to resolve as well.
And there are different issues on those. A lot of times with new development, you'll see, you know, lighting is always an issue, the type of light bulbs they're using. And if you have clients that are developers, you can make recommendations for their next project to be proactive and not make those same mistakes.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to be back with our fourth and final segment of Multifamily Matters after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we're back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic, how operations and asset management can relate to clients and asset managers. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is Shelly Johnson, Senior Vice President with Roscoe Properties, Lisa Moore, Regional Vice President with Roscoe Properties, and Danielle Mitchell is Regional Manager with Roscoe Properties. I do want to once again remind our listeners, if you would like to make guest suggestions, topic suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, you can go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. This final segment, you know, let's talk about how you can have fun with your asset managers and your clients. Sometimes you look at them as, I imagine in some cases it could almost seem adversarial, but doesn't have to be that way, and you don't want it that way. So what can you do to strengthen and build a relationship?
I think it's important to just remember, you know, at the end of the day, there are people too with emotions, and they want to connect. And I think just bringing in a little humor into your calls where you can is an important thing to do to kind of, you know, cut the tension sometimes if things do get a little adversarial. Remember their birthday. You know, if they're coming into town, be hospitable. Hospitality goes a long way in every situation, as long as along with warmth and kindness. So when they come, if you, you know, prioritize, I mean, even as VPs, if we have an important client visit, it's important to pop in there and show up for them so they know that you care about them. If they've mentioned they like a certain kind of food, you know, food always makes things more warm and fuzzy, you know, have that there, order a nice lunch in or take them out. One of my regional managers likes to do a resident of the week. And we've talked about that on many of our calls, and her particular asset managers just thought that was the coolest thing. So we randomly selected them one week to be kind of our resident of the week and sent them warm cookies and milk, and they loved it. Things like that make you stand out.
Yeah. I was going to say that I know that when sometimes I'll call some of my friends or clients in the industry, and I'll say, hey, you want to go get lunch? And it's almost like, I can't. I have owners. They sound like they're in such despair. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that way if you can do what you're talking about.
I think that if you get to know them on a kind of a personal level, and you have your team know them as well, and they get to know the team, that it definitely makes a difference. It just brings more, you know, of a human feel to everything. So I think inviting them to the property, maybe have a resident event that day, gives them an idea of the team and how they work and how they are with the residents, and it can usually have a good impact.
Yeah, we opt for face-to-face whenever we can. If somebody's in town, I definitely want to be in front of them. I want to go to lunch with them, show them a Houston restaurant. You know, we had a visitor, a client visit from Chicago a few months ago. We took him to a very southern restaurant, and he enjoyed the experience. This is not his typical lunch meal.
Yeah.
Well, we've invited clients to the rodeo and things like that. It's not an experience they get in their hometown, but it's a chance, again, to just get to know them and establish that, you know, that friendly relationship.
Mm-hmm. How do you get them if they're an absentee asset manager or owner and they don't get to town too often, but yet they're dealing with the on-site team from time to time? What do you do to try and, when they do come to town, take advantage of the situation so that they can really leave here when they go back to wherever they live with a great feeling about the team? How do you get your team involved too?
Well, most importantly, just make sure the property looks amazing for the visit. You want to have your team there early, make sure they are in their best apparel. They want to look good and look sharp. And again, they need to be hospitable. I mean, I've sent pictures and bios, you know, of owners and asset managers to my team before. I'm like, read about this person so you know who they are when they come in. Make sure they're up on their feet, ready to walk up and shake their hand when they come in the door. I mean, roll out the red carpet.
Right.
Have breakfast, have lunch, make sure your tour path and your, you know, it's leasing 101, the same thing you would do for a customer coming in. But you want to make them feel extra special, especially if it's a few and far between visit.
Sure.
And I would also add, you know, just to prepare all of your marketing collateral, all, you know, put together, you can actually have out your marketing plan and just show them, you know, this is all that we have done and all we plan on doing. So you just look like you're really on the ball, and you know, they're like, okay, well, I am not that involved, but I don't have to be because they've got it.
Yeah. And then when they come to town for visit, do you take them on tours of the sub-market they're in, the comparables? And
we do. We'll often go shop comps so they have context. You know, when we're telling them on a weekly call, this property is continuing to be a thorn in our side with the specials they're running, even though they're 97% occupied. Mm-hmm. We want to show them that asset, show them the team. And we always want to make sure that, you know, we are putting our best foot forward and showing them, again, why we're special, why our team is the best in the business. And thankfully, our competitors do give us opportunities to show off from time to time when we walk in and their leasing 101 is not on point.
Yeah. You were going to say?
I was just going to say, I think it's important to train your site team and to get buy-in from them that an owner visit isn't something to be dreaded. It's really an opportunity to shine and stand out and work on that relationship. And so you just tell them, you know, this is, you know, your chance to, this is your dog and pony show, yeah. You know, talk about your property and all the amazing things that you and your team are doing, you know, have props, you know, it works out great when you get them excited about it.
Yeah, it's like a show. The curtain goes up when the client
That's
arrives.
Right.
We touched in the first segment a little bit about online reviews and so forth. What do you try to do as far as talking to your asset manager owners if they're tuned into that, if they're, you know, notified or if they're checking on those? Do you, when you try to resolve something like that, how do you bring them and keep them in the loop on that?
Well, I think it's important to point out to them if they haven't seen it and you do know that some negative reviews have come up. Again, it's communication. So maybe they're commenting on parking, and maybe you have proposed a parking sticker program or something to work on that. And you can say, mm-hmm. listen, I wanted to point out, you may not have seen it, but we have received a few negative reviews about parking. That's something that we've proposed in our capital plan. You know, we want to discuss that. In the meantime, you know, we've responded, and you have to be very responsive to those reviews. So our on-site teams are watching those all the time, but we also have third-party companies that assist with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important to go ahead and clue them in, let them know the proactive solution, and not wait for them to see it and bring it to you.
Okay.
And we do our best to solicit positive reviews,
sure,
too.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Everybody has those residents that have been there for a couple of years and renewed and love our teams, and you know, they've been our resident of the week and things like that. So we're soliciting those positive reviews, and we're not afraid to point those out either when we've got the clients on the call, so they can see some of the great things that are going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, definitely. Too. But we also, you know, it depends on how close your management team on that site is with their residents, but most of the time we try to work through the issue with the resident that posted the review, and a lot of times you can have them remove it if it's a negative one. So, you know, we do work through that quite a bit with them to see
and
if we can turn
them
around.
Yeah.
We've got about a minute and a half before we get into the closing. I just wanted to ask Danielle, since you are the budget expert here, what is it that when it comes to budget time, when you have to deal with your clients and your asset managers, is there anything special that you try to do with that? Obviously, it's a lot of work in a short period of time.
It is. And, you know, it's important to have a good template, and it's important to have good historical data. But knowing your client's expectations and where they want to be in that next year, what kind of revenue growth, what kind of expense, you know, savings that they can anticipate, all of that's very important when you're trying to write the budget for the coming year. You know, you look at the property needs as well. Does it need another staff member, or can we give up a staff member, or, you know, does it have a special maintenance problem that you need to put in contingency amounts for? All of these things kind of come into play when you're looking at the upcoming year and trying to communicate with your client what they can expect with that budget you're going to, you know, provide for them. So it just takes a lot of communication. I think that we've said that word a lot today,
yeah, that's right.
But it's super important.
Yeah,
so.
It's the key. Well, I do want to take a moment before we close out to give everybody a chance to tell a little bit about how they got into this business. I would be shocked if none of you started out in leasing, because it seems like everybody that I talk to gets in this business through leasing. I've only found one person who started in management that I've talked to. Lisa, do you want to start?
Well, I'll be your second.
Okay.
So I actually have a finance background, and mm-hmm. I kind of came to operations through a circuitous route. I started out doing real estate underwriting for Bank of America up in Dallas out of school, and then moved over to one of our clients when I moved back to Houston. And I worked for Camden Property Trust for 10 years in finance, asset management, and then ultimately operations roles with them. And then about 2 years ago, made the move, jumped over to Roscoe, and haven't looked back. It's been an amazing experience.
Great. Danielle?
So I've been in the industry for about 22 years now. I did start out as leasing,
yes.
And I just kind of found my way. That was my career path, and I really have enjoyed it all the time, all that I've learned, all the changes that I've seen throughout the years. It's come a long way, and it's exciting to know or to anticipate where it might go. But yeah, I've been doing this for a while now, so it's very exciting.
Okay. Shelly, I also throw in a little bit about Roscoe after you talk a little bit about how you got in the business.
Okay. Well, I have been in the business quite a long time. I actually started as a part-time leasing person about 1988. I was actually in school for court reporting at the time and kind of got sucked in to, you know, my neighbor said, hey, we have a, you know, leasing opportunity down here at the office. And I worked in retail and I wanted something a little more steady. And at that time I was so clueless, I didn't even know what an apartment locator was. And we didn't even have a fax machine at that time. You made reference to that earlier.
Right.
So it probably took me about 7 years before I realized, you know what, this is probably what I'm going to do. And it's just become an amazing career and opportunity. Just seeing all the changes, our industry is very nimble. You know, it's constantly evolving. It's a lot of fun. You know, you can be analytical and a people person. There's never a dull moment. We can all retire on the book we write eventually,
mm-hmm.
Which is something we often talk about. So it's been a great experience for me kind of growing up in the industry. Roscoe has been a great experience for me. The Houston region was small when I started, you know, just over 2 years ago. We had about 5 properties, about 4 corporate employees. Today we have in Houston about 7,000 units, probably 27, 28 properties. New business is always growing. We have about 20 corporate employees, a full shop here in Houston with regional managers. We have a full-time recruiter, HR. We have a national director of facilities, regional service manager in our office, operations support analyst. So it's been really rewarding and exciting to grow this region here for Roscoe.
That's great. Well, I'm so happy that you ladies were able to come in today and talk about this, because the weather, first of all, was pretty bad. So thank you for doing that. We're going to be back next week at the same time, 10 a.m. right here on 1110 KTEK. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.